Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is your host, Elohim, signing in for today. We got a very interesting topic today. Our topic is wisdom. What is it? How do we get it? Okay. But we'll always start off our show talking about one of the most important topics that we have, and that would be love. Well, you have to think about it. If and we don't know how to get along with each other, how are we going to, And I'm trying to make an adjustment here on this. There we go. And we don't know how to get along with each other. How in the world are we going to build groups and make change or do anything in reference to families and friends? If we don't know how to love each other, don't know how to deal with each other, we're going to have a real problem. Okay, I'm not going to spend too much time on it because we've got a lot to talk about today. We're talking about this wisdom thing. It's pretty interesting. So love is the act that makes others feel good. It's not hard. Love is the act that makes others feel good. Remember when you first hooked up with a person or your wife or spouse or whatever, you know, husband, whoever you have there, you know, how good y'all treated each other and y'all was doing this and y'all was doing that. Well, actually, that was the love. And so that's what we talk. That's what we're going to talk about today in reference to love, is the emotional attachment and why we attach ourselves to the person in the first place. They were treating you so good and so well. You taking out to dinner and she cooking and y'all doing different things together and y'all having a whole lot of fun and everything, making plans for the future, talking about the future. Well, doing that portion of the engagement, that's love. Because you develop, you attach your emotional bond to those actions that the person has committed against you. Back to the culture, read what you sow. We can't get away from that. That's our culture. So you attach your emotions to that. Then y'all hook up, you start knocking boots together, and the next thing y'all know, y'all have been together for a couple of years. And then all of a sudden, somebody else shows up. And you'd be saying, who in the world is this person? I've never met this person before, you know? And you're trying to figure out what have you done to make this person into this person that they are. Well, the person, you know, once y'all hook up, things change. Who's in control? Who's going to charge this? Who's going to run that? And you begin mixing, living life together with loving each other. And that becomes a problem. Because loving each other has nothing to do with living life together, you know? Living life together is one thing. Loving each other is something else. A lot of people are living life together but don't know how to love each other, you know? Just remember that the person that you were when y'all first met, that's the person that they want. The other guy, the other girl, they don't want that person. They want the person that you were when you first met, okay? And that's what's going on. So I just found out that my text didn't go out again. I don't know what's wrong with my phone. I'm going to switch up phones next week. So next week we should work out. My texting should work out a little better. I don't know if they're blocking my text or just the phone I'm using is a crappy phone. But anyway, love is the act and make others feel good. And if the act that you're getting ready to commit does not make the other person feel good, to act, okay? Just leave it be. And this way your relationships will last longer and your relationships will be better, okay? Now, on to the topic of the day, okay? Wisdom, what is it? Boy, I have people talk about, well, there's no such thing as wisdom. We don't know what wisdom is. It's very simple. Wisdom is not knowing your mistakes, learning your mistakes, and not making the same mistakes over and over. That's what wisdom is. But how do we get wisdom? Boy, that's a big question. That's the $64,000 question. How do we get wisdom? You don't get wisdom. You're born with wisdom. I think about it for a minute. Let's get into how we are born with wisdom. Now, when the baby, if you watch your children, when they're little, when they first start walking, they be walking around the house and they'll grab onto something while they're walking, and then they'll grab onto something else while they're walking, you know? And if they grab something and it don't hold them and they flop down on their butt, watch them. The next time, they won't grab what they just grabbed that didn't hold them. That's wisdom. They just learned from their mistakes, okay? And the faster a child or person learn from their mistakes and don't repeat them, the greater the wisdom they become, because they're learning. This don't work, that don't work, this works, that don't work. You follow what I'm saying? That's what wisdom is. And we're all, excuse me, I have to get used to the late night myself. And we're all born wise. Oh my goodness, how can we all be born wise? You got some pretty naive people out here. Well, naivety is related to being stupid. You're stupid because you're naive. You just don't know, you know? You're not dumb. Dumb means you can't learn at all. You just can't learn, period. You know, they call them autistic. We just keep sort of retarded or whatever you want to call them. But a dumb person can't learn, all right? A stupid person is naive. They just don't have the information to make the proper decisions. So they're stupid, okay? I just want to break that down so we'll know what we're talking about when I use these terms, stupid and dumb, okay? Very seldom I've met a very, I don't meet too many dumb people. Most people are just stupid, which means they're just naive. They just don't know. And that works in a 1% favor. The more naive you are, that's why they keep information from you, because they want you naive. They don't want you to know certain things. Certain things classified, they don't want you to know, especially if they lying, cheating, stealing, and trust. Well, these politicians, if they're up there, they're lying, cheating, stealing. So we don't even worry about that. So now, here's the question. If we're born wise, right, then if we're born wise, then how come everybody's not successful? Well, it's pretty simple. We're born wise, but get your hand in the fire and the fire burns, right? And you go back and stick your hand in the fire again, okay? That person is dumb. They just can't learn. They'll burn themselves over and over and over trying to figure out why the fire is burning them, you know? But you don't have to stick your hand in the fire to learn that the fire is hot. You know it's hot now. Stick something else in the fire and see what the fire does, you know? But some people just don't learn from their mistakes, which means that they're not as wise as other people, you know? If you make a certain mistake, and some people in some circles, they call it insanity. You make the same mistakes over and over, and before you know it, you're trying to do the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. They say that's a mark of insanity. If you're banging your head up against a wall, and the wall ain't moving, but your head is starting to bleed, common sense will tell you that you need to get something else to try to move this wall. This wall ain't going anywhere, but your head banging up against it. That's the beginning of wisdom. You hit your head against the wall, it hurt, or you don't know what happened to the wall, and you say, well, I ain't going to make that mistake again. You go get a sledgehammer. Bam! Ah, the wall starts to move. You see what I'm saying? So that's where wisdom comes in. Wisdom is something that you're born with, all right? Now, the ones that don't know what wisdom is, they'll keep being unwise. It means that they keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. That's an unwise person. What is insanity? But that's not a crazy person. That person's just not wise. A wise person, when they make that mistake, click, they move on. They don't make that mistake again, okay? And that's where we are as far as wisdom is concerned. It's not complicated. You know, you got a lot of people saying, you know, this thing is wisdom, you know, because they're stupid, meaning that they're naive. Maybe I shouldn't use the word stupid. I just use the word naive, okay? To me, a stupid person is just one that don't have proper information. That's a stupid person. A naive person it's the same thing. One is just throwing out a proper information. And sometimes you can be naive and it's not your fault. Like they're dumbing down the children in the schools. You know, it's the child's fault that the teacher's not transmitting the information properly so that the child tests, you know. Now that brings us back to why everybody's not successful. Because everybody don't use the wisdom that they have. We all have wisdom, but everybody don't use it. And that's what's going on. You have to use wisdom if you do have it. And I apologize for my text. It didn't go out again to this Sunday. I don't know what's going on with these phones. It took me almost a half an hour just to submit a text because the buttons ain't working. It's a new phone, but it's a cheap phone. I'm going to switch phones up and see if that does it, or unless Big Brother's playing around with my phone and I can't get no message out, you know. So, but those of you who do listen in every weekend, you know, you got the number. So even if you don't get a text, call in, check up on your brother and see what's going on, okay? Now, here's the next part. What does the Bible have to do with wisdom? Boy, that's a big one, you know. Because, well, you know, I'm a Bible toter because I know how to read the book, and it's a very powerful book. There's a lot of information in it that can really help in your life and what's been done. Now, what does the Bible have to do with wisdom? Well, excuse me for a minute. I'm still getting used to this late night thing here because I'm used to being on a tree. I switched to A because I'm doing a lot of stuff during the day, okay? Now, the Bible, I'm going to say this here. A lot of you might say, oh, my goodness. No, he didn't. The Bible is not a religious book. Hello? People are using it for religion. It's like they use statues and stuff like that for religion. But those are not religious things, okay? And the Bible is not a religious book. It's a history book written by black people so that their children can be wise. Oh, boy, and I just said a mouthful. How can the Bible make the children wise? Because all of the mistakes and the solutions for the mistakes that we made in as we were sojourning through history, we put them in a book, and we gave you this book. The book was called the Torah, okay? They put the teachings of Yahshua and some other people, that means Jesus, and some other people in the book called it the Bible, okay? Rest assured, it's a history book. There's a lot of lessons to be learned in the book. Now, we were talking about economics last week, right? And I'm telling everybody about a 50% budget. Well, that's the story of Joseph, if you know how to read it. He saved Egypt by told them, save half 7 years, spend half 7 years. That's 50%. If you do that every week, your pockets would be fat. And you get to the point that you won't even eat the doggone banks. That's just how this thing works, okay? Now, I don't know why. Okay. Thanks, good. Yeah, I just want to make sure that the text that I did send out, but the numbers are right, okay? Now, that's what the Bible has to do with wisdom. It's a history of the mistakes that people have made while they're traveling on this planet in that little meat suit that they've been wearing. And by doing that, you become wise because you have the mistakes of your past written down. And if you read the book and don't make the same mistakes again, you'll be much better off. Like I said, it's like the story of Joseph. The story of Joseph is that they put them on a 50% budget. That's what saved Egypt. Now, the people on a 50% budget, nobody would have been hungry and starving running to Egypt for food. See? And that's what the book is all about. It's all about giving you wisdom, giving you solutions to the problems that your ancestors have made. That's what's going on. It's your history book. Don't throw the book in the trash. It's a good book, okay? Now, let's I just wanted to drop that in there. you know, what does survival have to do with wisdom? Now let's get to the next one. What does human nature have to do with wisdom? Oh boy, that's a big question. I think before we try to answer that question, I think we need to think about what is nature, you know? And is there such a thing as human nature, okay? Now, certain things the physical body is naturally going to do, okay? Naturally, we're going to eat. Naturally, we're going to spit out the waste that comes from eating, all right? So that's the only natural things that the human body actually deal with, okay? There's conditions that will keep the body alive, and those are the natural conditions of the body. In wintertime, we got to get warm. In summertime, we try to cool off because there's parameters involved with the temperatures of this meat suit that we're in. And we have to acknowledge the parameters that we have to live with. And that's the only natural thing that the human being is what we call natural. Things that you naturally have to do to keep yourself alive. Okay? Now, that's what's going on, and it's natural for a person to want to survive, okay? So this is what nature has to do with wisdom. If you want to survive, then you learn from your mistakes, all right? And we all have the natural ability to learn from our mistakes, so we all have wisdom. Right, so natural is what you have to do to survive. That's natural, okay. And if you wisdom is part of your natural survival instincts. You know, if you see somebody walk out in front of a car and they get run over and die, well, naturally you're gonna say, well, since that person did that and didn't survive, I think I'm going to hold up on walking out in the traffic. You see what I'm saying? And that makes a big difference. And the same thing, that's what the Bible is for. What saved Egypt was the 50% burden, so that saved them, and everybody else was coming to Kemet for food and everything, because Kemet is the one that's one of the few states that survived the drought. So, because they saved half their food, spent half their food for 7 years. They've been there for 7 years, 50% budget. They were successful, you know? So that's what you need to do. Learn from your ancestors' wisdom that they have left behind for you, all right? That's what the Bible is for. It's a history book of lessons of things and what they did to fix it. That's what the book is all about. That's why the 1%, man, they don't do nothing without that book, because they read that book and they see the little problems and mistakes and they say, well, what did this guy do? What did that guy do? How did they solve it? You know? And they look for ways through the book to solve the problems, and they constantly become successful. That's the difference between people who are using the system that we call Republic or Democratic Republic, two different systems, but they're closely related. The people that use these systems, the ones that have access to the Bible, right, they become very, very successful, okay, because they are wise, because they have a history of mistakes that have been made and solutions that have been made to correct those mistakes, okay? It makes a big difference. Now we're dealing with nature, and now we're talking about, some people say Mother Nature, but ain't no Mother Nature. You want to survive, that's nature. Nature is naturally using your wisdom to survive, not doing the same mistakes over and over, so that you can push through into another century, or you can push through into something else that will keep you here or alive. You know, I hope that Let me turn this other line up so I can. Yeah, okay. Just want to make sure that the broadcast is going out properly and everybody can hear. So now we're going to keep moving on down the line here. Now, when it comes to wisdom, are we bound by the flesh or the spirit? You know, when it comes to wisdom, are we bound by the flesh or by the spirit? So it's both, you know, because you are the spirit. That's who you are. And it's the spirit's job, the conscious energy that's in the flesh. It's your job to make sure that the flesh survives, because the flesh will do whatever you tell it to do. And if you tell the flesh to stick the hand in the fire, it's going to stick the hand in the fire. You know, if you tell the flesh to do it again, it's going to do it, but it's going to say, yo, man, that hurt, you know, but it'll do it. Tell the flesh to go jump off a bridge, it'll tell you, oh, man, jump off a bridge, yo, man, I'll jump, but it's going to hurt. It'll tell you that it's going to hurt. And but you can tell the flesh to go ahead and jump, and it'll jump anyway, because you're in control of the flesh. In reality, where I'm going to go into this, but I'm going to speak a little bit on it, in reality, you're constantly in a slave-master relationship. Your flesh is your slave. You are the master of the flesh. Trust me. That flesh will do whatever you tell it to do, without question. Whatever you tell it to do, you know? That flesh will do it, no problem, no problem, no problem. Now, right now, I don't know if the board's working or not. But I think it is working. Let me see something here. Let me check my board and make sure it's working. Okay, yeah, the board's working. Okay, let's open up one of the mics to see if the board was working. But the board is working fine. So during this segment, anytime you want to say anything, if you have a comment or a statement, press one on your phone. Let me know that you want to say something. And I'll acknowledge you, and I'll open up your mic. Now, once you press one, I try to open up the mics right away, because I know when you press one, you're dealing with that particular thing that somebody just said, and you might want to respond on that, because as we go through the hour, the subject matter might change just a little bit, or we get into a little bit different things, okay? So I want you to be aware of that. Okay, now... now, wisdom is dealing with the spirit and the flesh, and we're dealing with that fact that you control your conscious energy, okay, which is what they call God, which is what we call Elohim, the God within. I am, O God. That means you have a God inside you. The meat suit is not the God, but that conscious energy, that's the God that lives inside you. So that God is responsible for making sure that the flesh maintains itself, because that flesh does what the spirit tells it to do. That's why they say you can do everything to the flesh, but as long as you don't destroy the spirit, the person's going to be okay, you know? So that's where we're at with that. Okay, now let's keep moving here. You know, why are some things, why do they say some things are natural to do? Well, they say some things are natural to do because we're talking about our natural culture, read what you sow, okay? Like, again, once again, I'm saying that for some reason my text didn't go out. I know people are calling, and I appreciate that. those that already know the number, just calling in anyway to check on your bell, and I think that's pretty good. Thank you very much. But the topic for today and what we're talking about is... wisdom, what is it and how do we get it? This is what we're talking about. This is where we're at right now, talking about wisdom. We're at this point here where they say, why do they say some things are natural to do? We're talking about the reap what you sow culture. It's natural for you to try to reap the benefits of your actions. That's natural. When we're talking about natural, we're talking about things that must be done so that you can survive. That's natural, okay? they call it nature, whatever you want to call it, but that's natural, your instinct to survive. That's certain parameters. The meat suit needs certain parameters to survive. And it's that conscious energy dealing with wisdom that makes sure that the meat suit does survive. When we're talking about wisdom, we're talking about the ability to learn from your mistakes. I'm just recapping just a little bit before we go to our little, before we take a break here and start listening to the advertising and stuff, the people that are, you know, that I think the shows are pretty good. But that's what wisdom is. And so this is the first half of the segment of the show. Now remember, if you have a comment or you want to say anything, just push one on your phone and I'll open the mic as if the mic's open. They've been playing around with me on this phone thing, boy. I'm talking to you, but I'm going to keep talking. As long as they have me on their, allow me on their airways, I'm going to keep talking, although I'm having all kinds of trouble here, which would be to no fault of my own. Our big brother's playing around a lot, but that's okay. As long as the show comes on, I'm going to be telling you things that they don't actually, I'm going to tell you things to increase your consciousness and to bring you into solutions to all the problems that you're running into today, okay? And wisdom is one of the problems. Wisdom is the ability to learn from your mistakes. And that's what the Bible is all about. That's why I tell you that the Bible is, it's not a religious book to, it's not a religious book, but it's a history book. It's a history of mistakes and solutions that your people have made. That's why that book is so important, okay? This is why I give you examples out of the book on how to read the book so you can get the solution from that history book. It's not a religious book, it's a history book. That's why I was talking about last week, we were talking about economics, the story of Joseph. He saved Egypt by using a 50% budget. Spend half, save half. See what I'm saying? And if everybody was on a 50% budget, the banks wouldn't have that kind of control over us because we'd have so much cash saved up, we wouldn't even need the doggone banks. If you think about it, the banks need you more than you need them, you know? But we're not dealing with this. We deal with economics last week. We're not dealing with economics this week, so I'm not going to get into that. I don't want to get off track here because we're talking about wisdom. And just recapping a little bit. Now we're going to go into a little commercial here in a minute, you know. The last thing that we were dealing with was when it comes to wisdom, are we bound by the flesh or the spirit? And that's very interesting because that conscious energy from the flesh is literally in control of that body. And it will literally do whatever you tell it to do. People say, well, I can't do this. No, no, no. You can do whatever you want. That body will do whatever you tell it to do. But you have to have the intestinal fortitude. You have to have the courage to make that body do what it's supposed to do, to make it stop drinking, to make it stop doing drugs, and make it stop doing crazy stuff, you know, and to make it not go against the culture of read what you sow. We have to come back to that culture because that's our natural culture. When I say natural, I'm saying that's the culture that we need to help us survive the madness that we're going through, right? And that's the culture we need to pass on to the children because if the children know that what they do is going to come back to them, if they can see and understand that, then the jails will be empty because they wouldn't be stealing, lying, cheating, committing adultery, none of that stuff. They wouldn't do any of that stuff. And that's basically why most of our children are getting locked up, because they're functioning outside of their culture, you know? So if the children go on a 50% budget and function within their culture, there would be no need for them to go to jail unless they enter the political lives and make up charges on them and lock them up for not doing everything. Like a lot of our great leaders, Marcus Garvey, they locked up Elijah Muhammad, you know. I mean, they'll lock you up. John Africa, they locked him up. I mean, you know, there's one brother in jail right now. He's been in jail for a minute, you know, on some old chumped up charge they're doing him. He got one brother, Jamal, that's right, trying to get him out. So a lot of our brothers with the Panthers, they made up charges on them. You know, they'll lie on you. On the political arena, they will lie, make up charges, and get you locked up, you know. I can't think of the brother's name that I want to think about. But it'll come to me that I'll mention later on, okay? Now, okay, well, it's time for me to make my little announcements here. This is the Elohim Speaks Sunday show. We're here every Sunday now, starting at 3 o'clock. We're here at 8 o'clock, although this is prime time. A lot of people don't have a lot of things to do. So those of you who are on the line, I want to thank you so much for chiming in and spending this hour with your brother. I appreciate that, you know. And the call-in number for the show is 516-453-9230. And you can just press 1 if you have something to say. I see you have quite a few callers on the line. I thank you so much for calling in because it makes a difference for me to know that somebody's appreciating what I'm doing and what I'm saying every Sunday, you know, because I'm trying to raise the consciousness to the point that you don't need nobody to raise your consciousness, you know. You can do it for yourself. And so these little talks every Sunday will help that happen because it will begin to bring your synaptic nerves into a certain thought process that will increase your synaptic nerve function so that more information can come in from your mind to the brain through an oracle. I think we talked a little bit about that last week, too. So now we also have Legacy of a Nation show. That's Brother Matt. He comes on every Saturday. Him and Sun 752. Their calling number is 319-527-6199. They talk about mainly the four types of subjects that I talk about: politics, history, economics, and diets and stuff. So those are the four topics that they talk about, which I talk about too. But I get into them from a little different point of view. I don't really be talking about the problems a lot because we know the problems. So most of what I be talking about is things that will give you solutions to the problem, okay? And wisdom is wisdom. Understanding and knowing how wisdom works and what it is will give you solutions to a lot of problems. Wisdom is the ability to not make the same mistake twice. That's wisdom. And we're born wise. That's not something that you go to school and learn. You're born wise, you know. And we'll get back into that in a minute here. And also we have Queen Tahara Show. She's on from Tuesday to Friday. And from 7 to 8 p.m., and her call-in number is 917-889-8059. Now, the times I'm giving you is Eastern time because I'm in Eastern zone, so all the times that I'm giving you is Eastern time. So, you know, if you're listening in and you're not in the Eastern time zone, these are Eastern time zones that I'm giving you, okay? Then we had a spoken word with Sister Tammy. That's Brother Will I Am's sister. I don't know if those of you on the line are familiar with Brother Will I Am, but he's a very powerful, very knowledgeable brother. And her show is on YouTube. Now, she sells T-shirts and things like that, and it's called The Spoken Word. If you want to, you can go to YouTube, type in Spoken Word, and Tammy, she'll come up. Her number is 618-306-3165, and that's the number if you want to buy T-shirts. Some of the other stuff that she has. I think she has a book out, too. And so you can get into her a little bit. So she says some pretty good things, okay? So those are the three shows that I kind of like. I kind of listen to those three guys and participate in some of the things that they're doing, okay? Now, okay, and then that being said, I give people a little shout-out, even though sometimes they don't give me a shout-out, but that's okay. I talk the talk, and I'm going to walk the walk. We have to support each other. So if there's something that you like doing, you need to support that, okay? Now, here's the next thing that I want to deal with, okay? Since we talked about why they say it's natural to reap what you sow, that culture is natural to us. Because you're natural, you want the best benefits from the energy that you put out. That's only natural, okay? See what I'm saying? And natural means things that you do to survive. That's what natural is all about. I mean, Mother Nature and all that stuff. I don't know where to get all that stuff from. But you need to survive. And the meat suit that you're in has to naturally do stuff to survive. You have to eat. You have to make sure that you're in a place where the temperature's not too hot or not too cold, where you know, to help the body. You have to exercise, all that kind of stuff. There's some natural things that you have to do to keep the meat suit alive. And so that's what we do. When I deal with nature, that's what I'm dealing with. The natural things you have to do to survive, that's what I deal with when we're talking about nature. Okay? Now, here's the next question. Is politics natural or unnatural? Boy, that's a good question. Okay? Like, well, if you have answers, you know, just hit one. And I'll open up your mic and you can join me in this if you have some comments or something. Now, is politics natural or unnatural? Well, before we get into that particular question, let's ask ourselves, what is politics? Poly meaning more than one. Tick, you know what a tick is. A tick is a bloodsucker, okay? Now, politics is people who are there to join with other people to suck your blood. Now, is that natural? Well, let's think about it for a minute. You know, mosquitoes suck your blood. They do that to survive. So it's natural for a mosquito to suck your blood. A chick, you know, lives off of blood. So it's natural for a chick to suck your blood. Now, in the political arena, we're dealing with money. It's all about money and business. Politics is about money and business and compromise, you know. So if you're in the business arena and everybody have products and stuff, so it gets a little becomes a little doggy dog, you know, for who's going to buy what products and who's going to get rich off the products. You see what I'm saying? So politics is natural under a monetary system, okay? This is a monetary system. So as long as you're under a monetary system, politics is natural because you naturally want your product to sell over somebody else's product, because if you don't make the money, they're going to make the money. So it's natural. We're talking about survival. Well, then we get into survival of the fittest. That's a whole other different thing, because whoever has the best quality, the best service, and the best product, okay, that's the fittest. And they're going to survive more so than people who don't have good quality products and good service. So there's not a fit. So the ones that does the good service are going to survive. It's like Facebook took a big hit, some $1 billion or something like that. They only took a drop because they misled the trust of the people by giving that information, spying on people, and every doggone thing else. So Facebook is in trouble. Nobody's too big to fail. The government talked that stuff, but nobody's too big to fail. And if you're going to be successful, depending on how big you want to be, you know, you have to adhere to the law of reap what you sow. You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to reap what you sow sooner or later. That's why a lot of the Europeans in the system don't want blacks to come to power, because they treated blacks so bad, and they worry about if blacks come to power that we're going to return the favor. That's why they're scared. That's what the Trump thing is going through now. Because blacks are getting so much power in the system, they got worried. So these guys going to do with us what we did to them? Oh, man, we're going to be in trouble. So that's all they want to do, what you saw. And if they know we're coming back to that culture, read what you saw, they're going to be more mindful of what they're doing, because they know we're going to bring it back, you know? And to me, that's natural. So, yeah, politics is natural as long as we're under the monetary system, all right? Now, the Lemurian system that we were under coming from Mars. Yeah, I said it. We're not indigenous to this planet. No modern man is indigenous to this planet. Although that's what a lot of people teach. But we come from a constellation of Sirius, which they call the Orion's Belt, man. They changed the names of everything, so we can't take the lineage from our culture. But we come from the Orion's Belt through Venus, through Mars, through here. And they're finding different things on Mars to validate what I'm saying, that we had cultures and everything on Mars. In fact, I found a sister who was captain of a spaceship who had died when a spaceship crashed. And a picture of her, and she looked just like us. She looked just like we did, because that's where we come from, okay? But I don't want to talk about that too much. I'll get into that one day where you will take that as part of the show and talk about our sojourn, our journey from there to here, and what brought us here, okay? Now, the Marians, under the Marian system, Nobody paid for food, clothing, or shelter. That was a given. See what I'm saying? So there was actually no real need for money. Nobody needed money, gold and all that stuff. That's why there was so much of it, because nobody needed it, you know? We were growing food, doing stuff, and you can just go ahead and eat whatever you want, get what you needed, and stuff like that. Because nobody was getting the food to sell nobody, because everybody was getting the food themselves. So why would they go to you to try to buy something? All they got to do is walk down there and get it. That was the Lemurian system coming in from Mars, which was the best system that we could have been under. But that's a long story, too, okay? So now the next question is, should we participate in politics? Now, a lot of people have asked me that question, should we get involved in what's going on? But you have to realize that politics and religion control everything. The spirit, which is conscious energy, that's dealing with the religious aspect. You know, they call it religion. But religion is just realigning yourself with source energy. That's what religion is, you know? And yes, we should participate in politics. This is my, you know, this is just everyone's opinion, you know, everybody got one. But yeah, we should participate. Anything that's controlling your meat suit, you should be involved in. And politics and religion is controlling your meat suit. That's spiritual consciousness. That's what's controlling your meat suit. And you should be 100% involved in that. Absolutely. You should know as much about politics as you can, right? Now, here's a question that you have to ask yourself when we're talking about politics. You have to ask yourself, under what system did I raise my children? What political system, okay? You know, if you're not raising your children under a political system at home, how are they going to know about politics? And politics is controlling everything in this country. How are they going to know how to vote, who to vote, when to vote for, and all that kind of stuff? What's in their best interest? You know, we're about to talk about what you sow. If I sow to politics, what am I trying to reap? What am I trying to gain? These are things that you have to deal with when you're dealing with those congressmen and stuff. You know, are they going to do what is going to benefit you, your family, and the community? You know, and if they're not going to bring back to you what you're putting out your energy in to get back from, then what's the point of voting for these guys? You know, and at no time should we not be voting. A lot of us challenged Hillary, went up against Hillary Clinton, Democratic Party, because we didn't like Hillary. But look at the alternative. We wound up with Donald Trump. In some ways, I'm glad we got the guy in there, because he's showing us a side of America that's been there all along. This racism and KKK stuff and all that ain't just started. I mean, these guys used to run the government before. That's why the government failed, because in order for the Republic to work, you have to sort of take care of the minority. And if you don't take care of the minority, the Republic will fail. And that's how Republics work. The Republic is still rebelling in the democracy, because under Republic is the majority's responsibility to care of the minority and make sure that the minority's rights are being protected. And when I say minority, I'm not talking about a particular meat suit. We're talking about differences of opinion. And some opinions don't have a lot of people supporting that opinion. Well, that would be a minority. It has nothing to do with color or what race you are and all that. It's about your opinions, okay? And so the opinion that put Donald Trump in office was racist, sexist, immoral opinions. And even though the people that put him in office wasn't the majority, but it was quite a few. It was many, like 40. He had to have at least 51% of the population, but even half 51% of the population actually stole re-election. So it was kind of hard to use that as an example, since they stole everything. You know, he claimed Hillary was stealing, but he didn't want to do the stealing. But, you know, the people should have brought the Democratic Party back in so that the Democratic Party can continue with the work that Obama was doing, was taking care of the minority. I'm not talking about, now when I say minority, I'm not talking about meat suits or colors of people. I'm talking about people who don't have a lot of people that agree with them on issues, okay? That's the minority I'm talking about, is the opinions that people have. And some opinions, a lot of people agree with, some opinions, very few people agree with. That's the majority and minority, because as far as blacks are concerned, we've been a majority in this country ever since we've been here, okay? You got to think about it. It was 80 million of us here when the first European landed on the shore. There were 80 million here. We didn't go nowhere. We're still here. It just got us broke up in all different kind of groups and segments and all that stuff. We're Indians, I'm Haitian, I'm this, I'm that, you know. But in reality, we're all just one group in reality, you know. They want to make sure that group don't come together, because the power of the 99% is unity, and the power of the 1% is division and chaos, okay? So if we should participate in politics as much as we can, and I think those of you who are on the line, who haven't been dealing with politics, I think the first thing you need to do is go down and talk to your block captain. You know, if you don't have a block captain, find out from your alderman or your state representative, you know, who you need to talk to become the block captain. Even if it ain't but six people on the block, somebody need to become a block captain. Somebody need to get interested in the political structure, so that you can see what's going on, you know. And the wicked, they come right in. They learn the structure. And that's why they're on top running every doggone thing, because we're not involved. We lead it to somebody else. But you're supposed to be running this country. This is your country to run. Don't care what color the meat suit is. This is your country to run, and you need to get involved, okay? And that makes a big difference, right? Now, just think about what political system that your children were raised under. And if you think about the political system that you raised your children under, then you'll know just how much politics your children understand. And most of us, I'm going to tell you, myself included, because we're young, when you were young, when you first had those children, and if your parents didn't raise you in the political system, you're not thinking about a political system to raise your children under, all right? Now, if you don't raise your children on the political system, how are they going to learn? Now, these are some of the basic political systems that we're dealing with, okay? We have, I made a little short list here so I can run it down right quick so you can think about what's going on. We're talking about a republic, talking about democracy, talking about democratic republic, dictatorship, we're talking about the king and queen or dynasty. A dynasty is when the king and queen live for generations and their family rules. That's what they call a dynasty, okay? Well, basically, king and queendom, they're basically dictatorships, what they say is law. And you go against them, they make up the law, they make up the rules. Then you have oligarchy, you have anarchists, you have socialism, you have communism. So these are just some of the systems that are out there that you're kind of familiar with, that we've been running with, okay? And what I like the best out of all the systems from different people is the Lemurian style of government, where food, clothing, shelter is all free, you know? And that means that you don't need the monetary system to run that particular type of government, you know? And I thought that was pretty good. So if you're going to, the only difference is sharing your technology with other people, you would have to trade. See what I'm saying? So you're not trading money. You're trading in goods and services, which equates to money in the long run. So you have to be mindful of how far you want to go. And you'll lose a lot once you start trading with other cultures and stuff, like if they're in other states and stuff, then the monetary system comes into play, all right? Because a lot of times when you send an envoy to another state, you can't send him with 20 tons of beans, you know? So you send him with a piece of paper and a note stating that you have the 20 tons of beans, and what do you have? And they send an envoy with a piece of paper and a note saying that we have 20 tons of beans. 20 tons of rice, you know. So you sign off your 20 tons of beans, sign it over to him, and he signed over his 20 tons of rice over to you. Now you can call, you know, then he can ship his rice to you, and you can ship your beans to him. Well, that little note that you're signing is actually money, because it's worth 20 tons of beans, and his little note is worth 20 tons of rice. That was the purpose of the money, to keep you from actually having to bring large sums of stuff with you to make the deal. You can just make the deal and have a piece of paper that you write stuff up on, and you honor the piece of paper that you were given. Well, they turned that into dollars and cents, okay? So you bring maybe the 20, a few hundred thousand dollars, so you bring a few hundred thousand dollars or a check. They're worth a few hundred thousand dollars. You get them a check for the beans, you give you a check for the rice, you both sign off on it, and you send it back and forth. This was the nature of how money actually got started. The only thing is dealing with the barter system, you know? And so now, but the 1%, they're into control. Oh, my goodness, I only got about 8 minutes left. Time goes by fast when you're having fun, right? But see, now the 1%, they're dealing with control. They want to control everything so that they can maximize as far as what they're reaping from what they're sowing. But the energy they put out, they want to maximize what they get back. So if they can control things, then they can maximize what's going on, because they can get in the middle of everything and either disrupt it for future reference or make it work for themselves, if that makes it better, okay? Now, that brings us back to the Lemurian-style government. I like that style better. So if I had to actually set up a government, it would be the Lemurian-style government. Well, very few dollars and cents would actually be used. You'd have to have a printing press to print a whole lot of money. Just that we just contract. You know, we set up a contract, I sign a contract, you sign a contract, I'll send you my beans, you send me your rice. There's no, I have put no whole lot of legal tender and all that stuff, you know. We just have the contract and everything works, you know. That means you don't need the banking system, you don't need, there's a lot of things that you don't need under the American-style government, okay. Although in the Bible, it tells us that a centralized banking system is best for us to have. Oh, where in the Bible does it talk about a centralized banking system? Oh, that's the story of Moses. Moses, I mean, well, Moses, what does Moses have to do with finance? Well, that's how he saved his people. He separated economically from Kemet and got their own land, and he set up a centralized banking system where the people had to give 10% to the Levites, which was the spiritual aspect of the 12 tribes, okay? So once they had a centralized banking system, they were able to build roads, bridges, houses, and support the army, you know, and pay the army and stuff, because the people were sending the money in to a central place, and somebody was governing that to do what they had to do. That was the first concept of a centralized banking system, and it's in the Bible. That's where they got the idea from, okay? Now, you know that the queen, she still runs, well, London's in control of this country, because we didn't win our independence. Like you say this over and over, because pushing that lie. But we never did win our independence. I'm saying our, but they never won their independence. They fought for 33 years, lost, signed a treaty with Britain. Britain sent the soldiers over here to teach them a lesson, burn down all the government buildings and the White House. You can Google it. It's in the history book, but they don't teach you on it, but it's there. So you can Google that up. Just Google who burned down the White House, and all that information will come up. The British government did all that. They teach these guys a lesson by going to war with him, committing treason. So George Washington, they were all Bretonians, right? Okay, I only got a few more. I only got about 5 more minutes left. Once again, I'd like to thank those who called in. I really appreciate it. And I found out that my text didn't go out. But those of you are calling in, you're calling in because you know I'm going to be here and you're checking up on me, and I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I try to answer the questions before the questions are even asked. That's why the whole show is set up as a bunch of questions. and all the questions that we have are based on what you need to know, what I think you need to know, in order to make better decisions, in order to raise your consciousness so that you can make better decisions. Remember, we're all born wise, right? I'm just going to reiterate that. We're all born wise. Wisdom is being able to not to learn from your mistakes. Bible is full of wisdom, but you have to know how to read the book. And this is what we give examples of, how to read the book so that we can use this history book and become more wise. It's not a coincidence that everywhere you go in this culture, the Bible's in the hotels, it's everywhere. Where you have to, when you go to court, you have to swear on the Bible. They know what they're doing. This history book is the most profound book that they have found, and they've been using it ever since, right? And we're throwing it in the trash, but I'm trying to explain to people on the airwaves how to read the book so that you can get the wisdom of the book. The wisdom of the book is that in the book, they have made mistakes, and they have listed what they did to correct the mistakes, all right? And if you can learn from the mistakes of others in the past, that increases your wisdom. This is what wisdom is all about. Well, I'm not going to go this way because there's a hole in the street and it's going to mess up my car because somebody told me there was a big hole in the street, so I'm going to go the other way. So you learn from somebody else's mistake and you just save yourself car repair money. You see what I'm saying? So you're wise enough to go the other way because you learn from the mistakes of others. That's what wisdom is. So what I'm saying to you now, folks that are on the line, be wise. Stop making the same mistakes over and over. The hospitals are filled because we're making the same mistakes over and over. The history of the Bible told you that herbs and seed-bearing plants were given to you for meat. Yet we're eating all this here flesh. You know what I mean? Flesh wasn't given to you. If you focus on herbs and fruits and vegetables and stuff, you'll be much healthier. You won't be sitting up in the doctor's office all day long. You know, every time you turn around, you're sitting in the doctor's office, they're giving you pills, and you won't be doing that because you'll be wise enough now. You get your wisdom together, you're learning from the mistakes of others, and you're not making those same mistakes again, you know? Why would you take a drink? It don't make sense. If you're under the culture, your natural culture, read what you saw. What are you naturally, there's no nutrients in the liquor, you know? And it acts as a destructive agent. It destroys brain cells and everything else. So you're not reaping nothing or benefit from the alcohol. So why are you drinking? Oh, well, I'm drinking socially. Well, boy, we only got about 90 seconds. Well, this is the Elohim Show. We're here every Sunday. And pass the word. Tell people that we're here, you know, because sometimes my text is not going out. So maybe those that are on the line, if you can text people for me, help me out here. And send a text out. And I just ordered a new phone. I got here the other day, so I'm going to switch up the phones and see if that makes a difference. If not, then Big Brother's just playing around. Because Big Brother don't want you to get this information, you know. But I'm going to be here on Sunday. As long as they allow me to talk on the airwaves, I'm going to bring this information to you. And the stuff that we talk about on Sunday, you can't get it. Well, I said shouldn't use the word can't. But you're not getting it in other sources because we're talking about solutions. We're talking about solutions, things that will bring you into the thought process where you will begin developing these solutions for yourself because we're all born wise. And my suggestion to you is to begin practicing your wisdom under the culture of reap what you sow. The stuff, well, we got 10 seconds. The stuff you're putting in your body should benefit the body, okay? And, well, it can work for the doctor. But anyway, I love you. I want to thank you so much for participating. And hopefully I'll see you next Sunday. Now, remember, pass the word, spread the word about the show. because my Texas sometimes just don't get out, okay? So help me out here. All right, so this is Brother Elohim, and I will talk to you. We will talk some more next Sunday.